Luke chapter 2. I want to talk to you about what Christmas brings to us. Pastor Dave preached some of my message this morning. He doesn't know what I'm going to preach. I don't know what he's going to. But let's stand for the reading of God's word. Luke chapter 2. We were both keyed in the same thought. You know, we ought to be thankful. Amen. We ought to be thankful for what we've already got. And let's look at Luke chapter 2 and look at verse 1. And I'll just read down to verse 11. But this is the whole Christmas story. The Christmas story is great. Sit down. When my kids were little, I used to, every year before we'd open, let them open the presents, Tammy and David can remember this, old dad would sit down and I'd read them the Christmas story and pray with them. And we'd thank God. I never wanted Christ to be overshadowed in Christmas, because Christmas should be all about Christ. Amen. Amen. And look at Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And it hasn't stopped since, has it, folks? And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one of his own, into his own city. And Joseph also went up. They must have been Democrats. They love taxing, you know. But I'm not getting that going. Not on Christmas, I know. Don't mess them up. And they all went out to be taxed, every one in their own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea and unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. She wasn't pregnant. Amen. Mary was not pregnant. She was with child. I don't call people, she's pregnant. I say she's with child. The world wants you to say pregnant. That way when they have abortions, you're not killing no baby. But you really are, because the Bible says there, when you're with child. So if you have an abortion, you killed a child. Amen? Yep. Amen? Amen. And Satan, he's subtle, isn't he? He knows how to change things. And so it was, but notice verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. For them, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Look at verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Can anyone say amen? A Savior, 7 letters too, by the way, not 6. 7 letters. 7 is God's perfect number. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the wonderful truth about the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray today we can be a blessing. Help us to be a blessing to everyone here. And bless the service, not just this morning, but bless over in Super Church. And bless the cantata tonight. Bless when we do go tomorrow at Hattie Lorham. Bless Wednesday and everything we do Thursday. Lord, everything we do this week, may we bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Help me now, Father, to do well for you this morning, that I can be a blessing to the people. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me get you trying a Christmas attitude here, a Christmas spirit. Did you ever think about the gravity of Christmas? Did you ever think about the gravity of Christmas? Think with me. Did you ever stop and just consider all that the birth of Christ means to every person? Did you ever just think about what the birth of Christ means to every person that was ever born? I mean, did you ever stop and dwell on all the things that Christmas brings? I want to bring a message this morning, John, what Christmas brings to us. Think about what Christmas and what Jesus brings to us. I wrote a few things down. No, number one, Christmas brings to us a Savior. Thank God for that Savior. Verse 11. Look at verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And it tells you who that Savior is. It's not sun, moon. It's not Muhammad. It's not Buddha. It's Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen? And listen, the world desperately needed a Savior because the whole world was condemned before a holy God. And God looked down and said, you need a Savior. And Christ came from heaven, born in Bethlehem manger for one reason, to save people. The world, number one, Christmas brings a Savior to a world lost and undone. The birth of Christ was the most important birth of all births that ever took place. Number two, not only did Christmas bring a Savior, but that Savior brought salvation. So Pastor Dave mentioned Simeon in chapter 2 of Luke in verse 30. If you look at verse 30 there, we didn't read it all down there, but look at verse 30. He said, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. I'm going to tell you, that Savior that came from heaven that was born in Bethlehem's manger, not he was the Savior, but he brought salvation. In the Christmas story in Matthew 1:21, it says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I'm glad that Savior brought salvation. What does Christmas bring to you and I? It brought a Savior. It brought salvation. And that salvation that the Savior brought, it brought forgiveness of sin. Scripture says in Hebrews 10:17, and their sins and iniquities I remember no more. And not just some of the sins. Colossians 2:13 says, having forgiven you all transgressions. I'm going to tell you right now, Brother Mike, I'm glad I'm a wicked sinner. I am. I was thinking, I have a bad temper. I have to admit it. I think I do have a temper. From a little kid, I had a bad temper. I really have. You have to admit, though, over this, I think I've got better over the 20 years I've been here. I think. I hope. But, you know, look up here. We're all sinners. Hello? And I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad that Savior that was born for me brought salvation. And I'm glad that all my sins are forgiven, because if they weren't forgiven, I'd be in trouble. Because I sin every day. We're talking to you about what Christmas brings to us. It brings us a Savior. That Savior brought salvation. That salvation brought forgiveness of sin. Can anyone say amen? How many are glad you got your sins forgiven? I'm going to tell you right now, that salvation that Christ brings forgiveness of all sins. Scripture says in the book of Psalms, as far as east is from west, so far as he cast away our sin. I'm so glad for that. The Bible says in Romans 4:8, blessed is the man whom the Lord would not impute sin. You know what? You say, what's he do with all those sins? Look up here. You got to get this. When Jesus died on the cross, Billy, Not only died for my past sins, but he died for my present sins. He even died for my future sins. You see, they're all our sins. Every sin you've ever committed, and every sin you will commit until the day you die or the rapture, are all covered by the blood of Christ. Now, that doesn't give us a license to sin. God doesn't want us to do, don't misread. But I'm glad, Brother Carl, that my sins have been covered. I've been forgiven. I'm glad that I quoted a scripture to Lizzie today. The Bible says, over in Ephesians says, we're sealed until the day of redemption. Because if you could lose your salvation, this preacher would lose it. Especially watching politics and especially watching sports. How many know what I'm talking about? So I got to stay away from both of them. Amen. Notice this: what does Christmas bring to us? It brought us a Savior, which the whole world needs and you need. Carl brought that four-point outline. Do you know that Savior? Do you know him? He came for you. He came for me. He came for everyone. The sad part is he came for everyone, but not everyone will take him. Right. What Christmas brings, it brings a Savior. It brings a salvation. This brings salvation for forgiveness of sin. And because of the forgiveness of sin, it brings us now hope of eternal life, promised. I'm here glad you got eternal life. John Allen used to sing, I'm going to live forever. I'm going to die, no, never. Jesus died on the tree for me, and I'm going to live forever. How many remember that? Sing that with me. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to die, no, never. Jesus died on the tree for me, and I'm going to live forever. Only because of him. Not because of nothing we did. All because of him. Amen. Would you just bear with me? Look at the book of John. Move up one book, Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Look at John chapter 1. I just want to give you three scriptures out of the Gospel of John. Look at John 1, 11 and 12. John 1, 11, 12 says, Jesus, he came unto his own, the Jewish people, and his own received him not. But, I like that verse 12, but as many as receive him, now to everyone, Jew or Gentile, doesn't matter who you are, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even them to believe on his name. I'm going to tell you, that's exciting. We can all be the son of God if we just trust him, believe on his name. Look at John 3:16, a familiar scripture. This is all about Christmas. This is what Christmas brought to us. For God so loved the world. See, John 3:16 is all about Christmas. This is what, if Christ don't come, if Christ doesn't come, you don't have no Christmas. You don't have John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? How many are glad for everlasting life? That's what Christmas is bringing. Look at John 5:24. I love this scripture. Look at John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, it's past tense, hath everlasting life. Boy, how many want to live forever? Well, if you didn't have Christmas, you wouldn't have the opportunity, because Christmas is what brought you that. Because without Christ, you don't have everlasting life. You don't have the promise of eternal life. You don't have a Savior. You don't have sins forgiven. You don't have promise of eternal life. Can anyone say amen? I'm going to tell you, it's pretty important that we have this Christmas. I wonder why the world's trying to stamp it out. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The moment I trusted Christ as my Savior when I was 20 years old, I passed from death unto life. 20 years old, I was a religious person, was in a Baptist church, had been baptized, prayed in the church, gave out tracts, took up the offering, did all kinds of stuff, and they thought, boy, this kid from Galena Street, this hood from Galena, man, he's going to do some great things for God. Wasn't even saved. Reading the Bible, and for the first time in my life, I realized I was a lost sinner going to hell. I started to cry. I said, I'm going to hell. But Jesus came so I didn't have to go to hell. I remember getting down for that old green couch. Paid $110 for the couch, the lamps, the chairs. That's when me and Rosie first got married. You kids who just get married, don't go in debt. Just buy what you can afford. That's the trouble. We go in deep debt. I'm glad God went in debt for us. He paid the debt for us. But I remember getting down for that old green couch, Brian. Just bawling and saying, oh, dear God, please forgive me of all my sins and save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die and save my soul from hell. Boy, I remember getting, man, that was so exciting. I'll never forget it. Whew. Had Christ not came, there would not be, and there was no Christmas, there'd be no green couch. No green couch experience. Hello? How many are still with me? I'm telling you today what Christmas brings to us. It brought us a Savior that the whole world needed. It brought us salvation that keeps us, it gives us eternal life. It brought us forgiveness of sin. It brought us the hope of eternal life. Aren't you glad? We were talking about the atheist last week. And someone mentioned to me, I think it was Norm or someone said to me, and they were right. The one man said, the reason we're speaking out, we've got an emptiness. They said, we have an emptiness inside us. I know they have an emptiness inside them. Every person without Christ has an emptiness. Only Christ can fill that emptiness. Amen? It doesn't surprise me that guy says, I said, hello? He's trying to, it's like one of those kids, duh. I know you got an emptiness. He's trying to fill that void. But they keep saying, no, no to God. No, I know I'm empty, but I'm not letting you fill me up. No, no. Hello? That's why it's only a fool said that there's no God. And then number five. Not only do we have a hope of eternal life, but we have a promised heaven. Streets of gold. I thought of Revelation 21:4, D. Arlene, I love that verse. Revelation 21:4 says, and there shall be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears, no more death, for the former things are passed away. I'm going to tell you right now, I get excited about that. I get excited about walking on the streets of gold. Just walk. I get excited just about, now, preacher, I get excited just walking anymore. I get excited about having a new body with no pain. Amen? I mean, can you imagine no more arthritis, no more Ben Gay, no more anything? Hello? Amen? How many know what I'm talking about? Amen. Blood pressure pills, diuretic pills, diabetes pills. You listen, I'm glad that Christmas came and I got the gospel. Going to take care of everything for me. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, Christmas, people are missing out on great Christmas. This is all the things that we take for granted that we've already got that we don't even thank God for that you preached on us. We take it for granted. That's what Christmas brings to us. If you didn't get one thing, you got that. You've already got it. It's beyond measure. Can anyone say amen? That's why when you read the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2, you see in verse 10, good tidings, great joy, which shall be to all people. Man, when Christ came, the whole world had something to shout about. The whole world had something to be hoping for. The whole world had something to look forward to. Christ came. The Savior was born. The Redeemer came. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, this wonderful gift is, and it's offered to all people. Brother Coolidge, no one excluded. I wrote this down. God has a whosoever will may come, John 3:16 policy. Whosoever will may come. So Christmas brings, so listen to this. So Christmas brings a Savior, a salvation, a sanctification, a sin forgiving, a streets of gold. Listen, if Jesus doesn't come, none of that's there. How many are glad for salvation? How many are glad for that Savior? How many are glad for the sins forgiven? How many are glad for streets of gold? I mean, the joy of knowing we're going to go there, streets of gold. Woo! Glory to God. I get a kick out of you girls. Those girls, they love those jewelry stores, man. And it's in you. I know. Amen. God knows you girls. Men never figured you out, but God has. Did you ever read it in Revelation 20 and all through 21? Read 21, Revelation 21. How all the beautiful colors, in emerald, pearl. How many are with me yet? Jasper? How many are with me? God said, I know girls like, this is going to be one big diamond shot for eternity. Woo! Streets of gold and all the glitters. This has got to be heaven. Hello? You know what? All the glitter would fade away had it not come for Christmas. See, Christmas brings a lot to us that we take for granted. Amen? Now, that's what Jesus and Christmas brings us. Now, let's just think for a couple more minutes before we go home what we bring to Jesus. You ever think? I just shared a few things what he brought to us. What did we bring to Christmas? What did we bring to Jesus? Well, we brought him suffering. We brought him shame. We brought him all the sins of the whole world. Hello? Anyone still here? We brought, Brian, you and I brought Jesus punishment and pain and poverty. I shared with the choir last night, I quoted a scripture from Isaiah 52:14 about how Christ was marred more than any man. His folks, look up here. Jesus Christ's body was so badly beaten and riddled, it was beyond recognition. No one in the entire human race ever suffered as much as the Son of God did. No one. No one has ever suffered as much as Christ did on Calvary's cross. No one. But even far beyond that, Freddie, beyond the agony and the pain, which is, supersedes anyone that's ever felt any kind of pain, the thing that Christ had to suffer even greater was his holiness had to become sin. See, Jesus had no sin. We get evil thoughts. We lose our temper. Did you know Jesus never got an evil thought? Jesus never said a bad word. Jesus never did. You know, we got that think no, see no evil, think no evil, do no evil. Jesus never did. It never entered his mind to do evil. Hello? Sometimes I think, how can I be saved? How can I be a preacher? I just want to take those people out. What's wrong with me? There's too much Italian mafia in me. What's wrong with me? We have a fallen, look up here. We have a fallen, depraved nature. There's a scripture in the Old Testament. The heart is wicked and deceitfully wicked, and who can know it? I'm going to tell you right now. Our hearts are wicked. You might think you're... No, we're all wicked. We really are. We've got wickedness in us. Because we're born with a fallen nature called Mr. Sin, old man, carnal mind. How many are still with me? But Christ, Brother Phil, Christ never felt... All he had, all Jesus ever had was love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance. And if I walk in the Spirit, I can have that too. And I wouldn't want to tell those Democrats up like I want to. How many are still with me? And that's the only thing that can keep me from shooting them. The love, joy, peace, love, the Holy Spirit. How many are with me? How many are still with me? I'm trying to give you a thought. Look up here. Christ was whole. Just the thought of even one of us. Can you imagine all my sins going into Christ? Who never, by the way, then compounded with all your sins. Then compounded with all the sins of all mankind from the whole human race. That's why Jesus said, Lord, if you could, he wasn't trying to get out of Calvary in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was, just read the study of the Bible. That's why Christ was born. He was born to die for you and I. I get a kick out of these preachers that say, well, it surprised Christ that he got crucified. You're a numbskull. That was the whole purpose of him being born. He was born to be a savior, to redeem fallen man. Peter says he was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. It was already preordained before Adam and Eve were even created that Christ was going to come and die for their sins. Holy mackerel. There's a lot of idiots out there. There really are. And I'm a guy who just shoots it straight. They say, well, the Bible says his sweat became blood. Freddie, our Savior was so holy, just the thought of becoming sin was repulsive to him. Right. Yep. He couldn't, you know, like sometimes we get some indignation over something that someone else does. Can you imagine Christ's holiness, all the indignation he had to take? Hello, how many are with me? The Bible says that he took the cup and drank all the sins of every person that were ever born. my sins, your sins, the sins of the whole world. I don't think we grasp that sometimes. 1 John 2:2 says, and he was propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. That word propitiation means that what Christ did on the cross of Calvary, he satisfied an outraged holy God over our sin. Boy, I thank God for the birth of Christ. I thank God for Christmas. Can anyone say amen? He was rich, and he came down to us who were in poverty. Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Jesus came from heaven, Brian, where they were praising him day and night for eternity. Holy, 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 praise to the Lamb. I mean, all he got was worship and praise. He came to this earth, King of kings, Lord of lords. But you know, was there a reception for him? No, there was no room for him in the inn. Oh, I tell you, it's amazing. I can't believe he loves us. I can't. But God commends his love towards us, even that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'd look at these fallen races and say, forget it, you slobs aren't worth it, including me. Hello? We don't get this. We really don't get it. Listen, people get excited when they read about the wise men bringing those gifts. Remember in Matthew 2:11, they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That's nothing compared to what Jesus gave us. That doesn't compare. You can't even compare. Listen, and then I thought about this, and I shared this with the church last night. All that Christ, he left the splendor of heaven for the wickedness of the world to be our sacrifice, to be our sacrificial lamb, to take all the suffering and sin that we could that we put upon him. And then we gripe and complain because we got to come to church. We gripe and complain because we got to do choir. Hello? I mean, and by the way, he knew, Lizzie, what's great? He knew we were going to gripe and complain about this stuff that didn't mean nothing, and he still loved us. And he still died for us. You know, a lot of times we say, well, man, if I'd known they felt that way, I wouldn't have did it for him. He knew it. He still did it. That is love. That is love. God help us. I put a little Christmas offering here. Give something to Jesus. I bet some people say, how dare that preacher give something to Jesus? Well, he gave it all to me. He gave it all to you. I don't think it's wrong for us to give him something. By the way, I could never repay for all he did for me. But it's sure nice to say, God, I want to recognize the birth. I don't know what day you were born, but I'm glad you were born. And I want to recognize your birth. Celebrate it. Matter of fact, one year we did this, and of course I get killed by all the ladies, and I can't do it no more. But one year, and I thought it was tremendous. We didn't buy no gifts for nobody. We just gave it all to Jesus. Remember, we raised about $35,000-$40,000. I said, don't buy no Christmas for anybody. Just I know, well, this guy's really flipped out. Mark Six Dad challenges. Remember that one year? Yeah, I thought, I know people say, oh, don't ever bring me back to that preacher. I won't. I can't bring you to it. I don't want to kill you. But to me, that was the real Christmas. When we just brought our gifts to Christ. It was so great. And the stress and all the worries, you know, to me, we get blown out for this thing. And, you know, the Christmas is the hardest time. I can't wait to get through it. It should be the happiest. This should be the happiest time of the year because our Savior came. But I'm telling you, as a pastor, the people get stressed out. And you know what I'm talking about. How many know what I'm talking about? God help us. After all Jesus gave to us. Now in closing, let me give you this last verse and we're going to go home. I shared this verse with the choir last night. So choir, don't panic. I'm not going to preach long, but I just want to read this verse to him. Look at last verse, Mark 15:31. I shared this with the choir last night. Brother Mark asked me to bring a little challenge to the church, and I did last night. I preached a little thought about others. If you look at Mark 15, chapter 15, verse 31, Christ is on the cross being crucified. And they make this statement. How many have got Mark 15, 31? I'm all done. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking among themselves with the scribes, he saved others. Himself, he cannot save. He saved others. Himself, he could not save. That's a true statement. Because, Brother Jack, if Christ would have saved himself and came off the cross, and he could have, he could have said, forget this. You're not worth it. He could have came off anytime he wanted to. I thought of the song, Up Calvary's Mountain, One Dreadful Morn, walked Christ our Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners, death on the cross, that he might save us from endless loss. I'm going to tell you, he didn't have to do that, but he did. Amen. He saved us from endless loss. He saved others. Himself he could not save. Look at that verse 31. He saved others. How many see that? He saved others. See, you could, Freddie, you could take one word and describe the life of Christ. One word describes the life of Christ. And if you and I want to be like Christ, we got to have that one word in our heart. I feel bad. Many times I don't have it in me. But if I do, it's a great thing to have. And that word is others. You see, Jesus was born in Bethlehem for others. He lived for others. He suffered for others. He was beaten for others. He didn't know sin of himself. He tasted death for others. He came for others. He died for others. He did everything for others. Others, when he healed the blind, fed the hungry, walked on water, everything he ever did, he did for others. He was born of a virgin for others. He suffered and died for others. He arose from the grave. Hallelujah. For others. Woo! Robin got excited today talking about the kids. They went out last night with the children singing Christmas carols. And she said, preacher, it was so exciting. She said, the people loved it. They were crying. And the kids just did. And she got, I said, you know what made it so special? You forgot about yourself. And you got caught up for others. I told the choir tonight, last night, don't come and sing the cantata tonight for Bethel Baptist Church. Do it for Christ. Do it for others. Come up here and say, I'm not doing it because it's for others, others, others. You ought to bring people today for others, others, others. That's all matters. You run a bus route. Why? For others. You work in a senior program. For others. You work for nothing in Christian school. Why? For others. 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 That's what Christmas is all about. Others. When you see Christ being born, you're seeing Christ being born for others. That's the Christmas story. That's the Christmas truth. Others. 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 O-T-H-E-R-S. Others. Boy, that's a gift. That's the gift that moves people's heart. The gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this. What gifts do we bring to Jesus? We could bring him our time. Some of you won't even come back tonight. I feel sorry for you. Well, I'm too busy, preacher. You're right, you really are. I ain't got no talent. Did you ever try? Well, preacher, I can't give anything. I read about the widow that gave the widow's mite. You could give something. I'm going to tell you, I'm glad Jesus gave it all. No, Jesus didn't hold back anything. He gave it all. Yet, preacher, we grumble and complain because we have to give a little. I shared this with you before, and I shared it with the choir last night. And I'll close with that. General Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. He loved Christ. And every year, General Booth, at Christmas time, for years, always they always had a big Christmas party, Christmas dinner, and General Booth always was the keynote speaker. But time went by, and General Booth got older, and the time came for the Christmas dinner. He was near his death, and he could not come. And they said, "What are we going to do? It won't be the same if General Booth can't come. It won't be the same. He's a keynote speaker. No one's ever spoke other than General Booth. He's got to be the speaker." And they said, maybe if he could just write it down on paper, we can have someone read it, and they could be the orator for him. And so they had General Booth. They said, "General Booth, we know you can't, you're bedridden, you can't come. Could you write down just a message to give to the people? And we'll have someone read your message from the pulpit." And so he wrote a message for the Christmas service. And they elected a man to come up, and the man opened up and he said, "I've got the message from Dr. Booth. I've got a message from him, the founder of the Salvation Army." He said, I've been elected to read that message. And here's what he wrote for us to hear today. And the man said, "Here is the message from General Booth. Others." He wrote one word. He wrote one word. You want to be a great organization? You want to be a great arm for Christ? Be what Christ was. He saved others. Himself, he could not save. See, if I want to be like Christ, I got to die to myself and give to others. Do for others. Pray for others. Help others. Give for others. Others, 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 others. When you read the Christmas story, a Savior's born. He wasn't being born for himself. He was coming for others. You want to get the Christmas spirit? Get caught up in others. Others, 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 others. That's the Christmas story. That's the heart of Christ. Others, 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 others. You get caught up in that. You get the Christmas story. You get the heart of Christ. Others, others. Run the bus route for others. Do for others. Give to others. Preach the gospel so others can hear the riches of Christ. Oh, all over the world today, Bobby. In churches all around the world, they're preaching about the birth of Christ. Aren't you glad that Christ was born for us? You see, Christmas really does bring a lot to us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had. And Lord, I just pray with all my heart that we would get caught up with the fullness and the richness of the birth of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Help us to rejoice like the angels did. Help us to see what they saw. Help us to hold in our arms what they held. Help us to feel the warmth and love that they felt. And help us to know the heart of the one that came for others. Help us to have that kind of heart for others. When we go to Hattie Lorm tomorrow, we'll do it for others. When we do the senior program on Thursday, we'll do it for others. When we run those bus routes this afternoon, we'll do it for others. When we give to missionaries, We do it for others. Help us. Help us to have that truth of Christ, that he came for others. Others. Help us to quit being so selfish and caught up in our own world, and help us to get caught up in the world of Christ for others. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, this morning before we go home, how many can say, Pastor, I know for sure there was a day I saw myself a lost sinner and I asked Christ to save me, and I know for sure I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I'm positive I'm saved. I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. And preacher, I know for sure. Thank you. May put him down. How many would be honest with themselves and honest with God and say, Preacher, I'm not really sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I would really like to go to heaven when I die. I don't want to die and go to hell. Surely after Christ came for me, I don't want to miss out on him being my Savior. Preacher, pray for me. I need Christ as my Savior. Just pray for him. Who'd say that? Just raise your hand. Who'd say that? I need Christ as my Savior. Just put it up. Put it up. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. Pastor, I'm not sure. Hold it up high so a preacher can see it. There's a lot of people in here today. Pastor, I'm not sure if I die, if I go to heaven. Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray. Anyone like that? Pray for me. Just raise your hand. Put it back down. Maybe he's putting, I didn't see it. Pray for me. One last thing, and I'm going to pray. Christian, what are we bringing for Christ? He brought him his whole self to us. He gave it all for us. What are we bringing for Christ? How many say, Preacher, I'll be honest with you, lately I've not been centered on Christ. And I need to start focusing more for the things of God. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes, 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 yes. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, help us. Help us to see the Savior that came, and help us to know him. Help us to serve him, and help us to love him. And help him to live through our lives, that we might reach others. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.